to our honorable sheriff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Mr. Lee?
Good morning, council people.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Where's that badge at?
Right there.
Okay.
You have a resolution for us, I think?
I'm sorry, sir?
Have a resolution for us?
But you said a revolution.
No, we're done with the revolutions.
Yes, Mr. President, and thank you, Mr. Lee, for being here. I placed in the packet information pertaining to a proposed resolution relating to the Constable Commission for the Sheriff and the Deputy Sheriffs. This was discussed back in June of 2015, whereby the council approved a motion to request the Delaware Licensing Professional Board for the Delaware State Police to provide constable certification for our sheriffs. And their attorney reviewed our motion and would prefer that that come in the form of a resolution. So we have a resolution prepared for council today to consider. It was in the packet. I have a copy of it here that I may read for your consideration.
Please read it.
Okay. It's a request for Sussex County Sheriff and Sheriff Deputies to be commissioned as a constable and authorizing Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, to submit such request. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council requests constable certification for the current Sussex County Sheriff Robert T. Lee and Chief Deputy Eric Swanson, Sussex County Sheriff Deputies Patricia Smith, Martin Gordy, George Wilson, and that Todd Lawson, County Administrator, is hereby authorized to submit such a request to the State Board of Examiners of Constables.
Pleasure of council.
I think we should do that. Just to submit.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
To take a look at it.
Any questions?
Yeah. We're not voting on it. Just taking a look at this.
Well, I do believe they want to.
Consideration.
We are going to submit this ordinance, or resolution rather, to the State Board that authorizes constables.
Okay, so we did this back in our vote.
Right.
We're saying it's fine.
We're saying it's fine, and we ask them to authorize it.
Well, I have great confidence in the council that it's fine.
That move, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? I'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Absolutely, yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
And as again, this is a public time for me, as Mr. Arlett has said, to thank the council for all their hard work in helping us to get the sheriff's office where it is today.
We have to thank you.
And I will say, if there is an accomplishment, that reviewing the overall performance evaluations, and one of the things that we've talked about many times is customer service, I can tell you that each one of my deputies and each one of my staff in that office have all got an outstanding rating for customer service. Most important thing that we have in this county right now is customer service, and I'm proud to say that they're all in that category.
You've done a good job.
Thank you,
in
sir.
Your selection.
Thank you.
Very, very good.
Thank you, and thank you for your patience with this resolution.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Please bring this to my retirement when I have it, so that I've got it. Just lay it over the top. All right. Thank you.
Large. Did you just announce your retirement?
Not yet. Okay. Who knows when you're going to retire?
When you get the other end of the hall.
Good morning, good morning, commissioners.
You're not retiring?
No, not that I know of. So, first item on the agenda today for the county engineer's office is an update on the Wolf Neck facility. And you may have heard some of the media reports on the Wolf Neck. And first of all, I'd like to state for the record that at no time did we have raw wastewater or raw sewage spill from the facility or have any leaches, breaks or leaks. Now, the NRC issued a notice of violation for a concentrated runoff of a mixture of groundwater, rainwater runoff, and treated effluent, which concentrated and ran into the marsh. So that was on field 2, which is one of the 5 spray fields. And we were ordered to do certain things, certain improvements. And we also took it upon ourselves to test the runoff and make sure that it had low nitrogen levels, total nitrogen of around 8, which is, you know, still It's a very low number. It's not super low, but it's certainly, it's, it is, we can say it is a minor issue with terms of nitrogen. Put it in historical perspective, that's the fourth time this happened in 20 years. Facility has been in operation in 20 plus years. Each one of these previous three were of similar nature. Same weather conditions, same things surrounding that performance. The last one was in the winter of 09-10, you may recall. Massive snowfall, oh, yes. Long freezing conditions.
That was my first week here.
Oh. We had the same problem. Notice of violation was issued. We responded just like we did here. There's a couple of things we had to do. Modify our spray rig on fill 2. That's been completed. We have weekly updates. The state has been updated. That is completed. We took it on by ourselves to expand on the sediment erosion control measures, not only for field 2, but for the entire facility. That is almost completed. It, I would say it's probably by the end of this week it will be 100% complete. The weather conditions have been difficult this winter, and you know this. We are approximately 20% above the rainfall averages for that period for the area. This comes on top of a weekend rainfall event of 2.8 inches in 24 hours. I am checking with our staff. I can report that the sediment and erosion control measures have held up, so they have not been floated into the marsh. No, they're still there. Now, there was a concentrated rainfall runoff of field 2, which resulted in some farming activities we have to redo, and that is, I think it would have happened to anybody given the topography and the amount of rainfall we received over the weekend. So the long-term efforts would include a modification of the layout of the spray rigs, which you have previously approved. Ms. Ross and I met with the contractor yesterday. We're in the process of working through this. You will see this probably in a few weeks. We'd like to make sure that we have the backing of the department. I've been talking to them on and off on these particular issues, as well as the modification of the buffers and the non-sprayed areas to roll them into a non-agricultural use, which would also, again, include the department's concurrence. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are. I wish it hadn't rained that much this weekend, but that's something we don't have much control over.
It's all clean water, right?
It is all treated effluent. It is not raw wastewater. It does not constitute a...
So this is actually probably the same kind of water that they would have put in the ocean anyway. Correct?
That's the same water we would spray on the field.
Our kind would probably go out in the ocean.
Can I not comment on that, please?
But it's safe to say that if there is going to be something, an event like this, and it runs off into wetlands are basically designed to take a lot of the impurities out of water, you know, as it approaches, say, the main water course of a stream. It's Mother Nature's way of addressing something, so we're probably... Fortunately, we have wetlands buffering some of our fields.
That is correct. And if you look at the runoff, which was studied extensively, wetland runoff, and that is saltwater marsh runoff, was extensively studied in the Murder Kill, and there is the elevated levels of nutrients in the wintertime runoff from marshes by far exceeds the effluent concentrations in total nitrogen. Mm-hmm. That's a scientific statement. That's not the county engineer statement.
I believe I was driving to the same point. This water's still going to go to the branch somewhere, and it's going from the branch to the rivers, from the rivers to the ocean.
That is a true statement.
It's all about the same thing.
However, our permit prohibits us from concentrating the flow, and that was the violation that we had a unauthorized flow concentration, which we have to address.
I know. Well, I'm scared of environmental depth when you say things like that.
We check these on a regular basis, and I appreciate the citizen that called me 4 times about this. I'm just wondering, isn't that kind of dangerous for public to be out there? Are they allowed out there? I don't want to be responsible for people getting hurt going out there.
We have no trespassing signs posted. However, it is a combination of leased land and parkland.
I see.
So that's where it becomes somewhat blurry, where exactly the no trespassing starts and where the parkland stops.
Maybe we should put up our temperature of the water so they won't freeze to death when they go there.
The temperature of the water is always monitored every day, so we have that record.
Mr. President, I guess it's never good when you hear that the county, is in violation, and when you have our county administrator on the news. I know it's not something that we always like regarding why we have a violation of some sort. But I think in the end, you've addressed it, and it's not as serious as perhaps it was originally reported. And I will add one thought and one question for you, and that is because one of the employees actually was at out and about in the community. One of the employees, county employees, from within the wastewater facility, came up to me, and we were talking about this, and it was offered as a suggestion that perhaps that we have, and again, I don't know. I've been out there for a tour, but not detailed tour per se of knowing all of the equipment that we have. But if we were to till the dirt deeper than what we have been doing, it could absorb it better or quicker or better than perhaps what it has been doing. Is that something that we could address or you could consider? That was something that was offered as a suggestion from somebody from within. If we were to till deeper, it would break it up and it can absorb better.
They absolutely, those that say that, absolutely don't know what you're talking about. That's not true.
Well, that was your opinion, but I'm addressing the concern that was brought to me by an employee.
Well,
so
I've been involved in this a lot more than you have, by far.
I'm sure, but Mike.
Mr. Benlar, you have to make a comment.
Just real brief.
Settle this dispute, please.
This is not a dispute, it's just a question.
It's an old dispute.
I'm sure the real truth lies between the two opinions. In the meantime, we have taken up some ripping activities. We have rented equipment. We do have a deep ripper. We have done some contour farming techniques in the buffer zone to do just that. But as I said, what the real agricultural answer is, I'd like to stay out of that. But we have taken active steps. They were not required, but they're above and beyond the requirements which are required under the notice of violation.
Thank you.
By digging deeper, it only makes the water go down deeper to the drinking water. That's why you don't want to go down as low. That's the reason.
Okay, now I do have to say something. There is a permit requirement which stipulates the minimum distance to the groundwater table. So there's a number of what's called piezometer wells. So that cutoff for our facility is at 2 feet or larger. So the ripper goes down to just that level. So if you were to do it at 3 feet and you're ripping in the groundwater, you're probably not doing any benefit. So that's why I said I think both of you gentlemen have an excellent point. We do have the information. We're trying to address it in the best way possible, and that's...
Come see me. I'll go back and talk to him for you.
Thank you, sir. You have something, your next one, something else, I think?
Yes, I have another item before you, which is the somewhat related, the activities at pump station 210. And you see we're progressing quite nicely. That is the pump station which would allow us, look at it like a railroad switch yard. You can send flow one way or another. It would be possible to send the flow between the West Rehoboth District, whether it goes to Wolf Neck or whether it goes to the Inland Bays facilities. We don't have a potable water source there, so we requested to have an extension from the tidewater source, which is right next door, to the south in the small community, the condo community. And in order to get that done, we need the council to have a resolution to support the inclusion of this parcel, being our parcel, in the CPCN. The county administrator executed the request, and I'm asking you to validate it with a motion. And I have a prepared motion here, but I have to put my glasses on.
I understand. When you get ready.
I am ready.
You go ahead.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council authorizes the request to petition Tidewater Utilities Incorporated for the inclusion in their water service territory for water service to extend to Sussex County Pump Station 210 located at the northbound lanes of SR1 and the Road 12 intersection, Lewis, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Well, I'd like to make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? I'm going to guess, I see we have someone from Partizan sitting in the back there. I assume this is probably for no charge to us, I guess.
That's
tough. It's
a wrong company.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. It is a wrong company, isn't it? Yeah. Just trying to see if you were awake.
It's free.
We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll get the motion carried. Mr. Ashman?
Good morning.
I'll sit in the back.
Following is a summary for the proposed Herring Creek Sanitary Sewer District and the Winding Creek Village Water District proposed. March 1st, 2016, I gave you status update on the public hearing held on February 13th for the Herring Creek Sanitary Sewer District and Winding Creek Village Water District. As Council received significant requests for additional information and general comments, we felt it was best interest of the communities to postpone the referendum vote and host an additional public hearing. We mailed out letters to property owners advising them the county's decision, and we'd like to inform you that we have scheduled the second public meeting to be held on May 7th, 2016 at Beacon Middle School on Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, starting at 10 a.m. Letters notifying the property owners' residents will be mailed, and the meeting will be advertised locally and notifications posted online and in the community. We would also like to inform you that to date we have received 171 affidavits from property owners' residents in Winding Creek Village requesting that we cancel the referendum for the proposed water district. We are currently analyzing those for the validity and a percentage of eligible voters that they may represent prior to making a recommendation to council. The permitting of affidavits requesting a referendum be canceled is neither spelled out in county nor in state code, but based on emails, letters, messages, and requests at the public hearing and comments to county council the last several weeks, it was decided to pursue this route. Therefore, allowing the residents the opportunity to indicate that there is not significant interest in the county providing a water system to proceed with the referendum. You heard in public comment that they may have some additionals to be submitted to us in the future. Just to give you an update, the Herring Creek Sanitary Sewer District is most likely still moving forward, and we will post the public meetings the week of April the 18th, hold the meeting on the 7th, and then provide an update to council possibly on May 10th.
Thanks, sir.
Any questions?
Thank you. Comment. Make sure you get them all advertised so they don't come back and complain to us.
We'll try.
Thank you, sir. Joe Wright. Sussex Shore Subdivision Roadway Improvements Project 14-13B.
Good morning, Mr. President, Council members. This morning I'm here to ask for approval to award a contract to pave Sussex Shore Subdivision. It's just a real brief reminder of where we are. This is a Chapter 96 project where we're doing multiple stages. The first stage is which you approved and which we have now completed is to put conduits in the ground to place the aerial utilities underground. Currently, the utility companies are in there placing their lines in those conduits. Our intent is to award this contract and during the month of May, come in there and put base paving, suspend for the summer during the very busy beach rental season, and then come back in the fall and complete this paving. So there's a clause in here, an escalation clause, to deal with the hot mix of prices that may fluctuate during that suspended period. So we took bids for this contract, the 1413B, on March 24th. We received two bids, Georgian Lentz at $376,405.50 and Jerry's Paving at $483,896. Our estimate was $500,821.50. We had to make an adjustment in the George and Lynch apparent low bid that lowered the price in the county's favor, the residents' favor, of nearly $12,000 more. They had made a mistake, and in accordance with the contract language, you had to correct it in a certain manner. They accepted the fact that that lowered their bid even further and that they were still certainly interested in the contract. So with that, I have a motion, unless there are some questions. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the total base bid for contract 14-13B, Sussex Shores Subdivision Chapter 96, roadway improvements, be awarded to George and Lynch Incorporated of Dover, Delaware, in an amount of $364,644.30.
Pleasure, Council.
Sounds good to me. I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Coley.
I'm going to not vote because I have a property in Sussex.
Oh, my.
Mr. Arlett.
I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yet. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Patty Neptula. Proposed Pinetown Chapter 95 Street Lighting Project. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. For 4 minutes.
I'm telling you.
On January 26th this year, I appeared before you and you approved a motion to circulate petition forms to improvement owners in the community of Pinetown to see if they were interested in forming a street lighting district for the community under Chapter 95 of the Sussex County Code. The written request for petitions came from their Pinetown's Civic Association and community members who were asking to form a street lighting district in their subdivision with 8 street lights being installed. Pinetown is located on Sweetbriar Road, which is County Road number 261 west of Lewis, and shown on County Tax Map 334-4. The proposed district boundaries encompass parcel numbers 5 to 10 and 12 through 27. There are 25 tax parcels within these district boundaries and 25 assessable improvements according to our county tax records. Petition forms were mailed out on January 26th after the council meeting, and as of February 11th, 2016, 5 valid forms had been returned. This was enough to satisfy our Chapter 95 code requirements. I asked Delaware Electric Cooperative to provide costs for the 8 street lights, and they gave me costs for 8 street lights and 2 new wooden poles after the community was reviewed and a preliminary cost estimate was formulated, which you have a copy there in your packet.
What?
I'm sorry.
The number
it's,
one
in, it's in what she gave us.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
in
okay,
the.
Okay. You know how my hearing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
On February 22nd of this year, I sent an invitation to all Pinetown improvement and property owners to discuss this proposed street lighting district at their scheduled March 14th Pinetown Civic Association meeting at Pinetown. I attended the meeting, answered questions about the street lighting proposal. No objections were heard at the meeting. Today, I have 2 items to present to you for the proposed Pinetown Street Lighting District. The first item is the motion seeking your approval of the preliminary cost estimate for the installation of street lights if the project is voted in favor of. In the handout, I have provided you with a copy of the estimate dated 3/30/16. It provides for the installation of 8 Cobra Head LED streetlights. 6 are to be placed on existing electric poles, and 2 of the lights are to be installed on new poles for a total of 8 Cobra Head LED streetlights in the community. The lights will be located as shown in the Exhibit A layout, which is also in your packet. Cost estimate is for the annual cost of the street lighting. It includes the electric maintenance costs as well as an annual 10% county administrative fee to oversee the district, and also includes a 5% contingency fee to cover any miscellaneous increases such as taxes or fuel adjustments in the annual electric cost. Estimated annual assessment per improvement is calculated at $66.20, and this is based on the 25 assessable improvements. If a district is formed, costs are recalculated every year based on the actual electric bills, the administrative and contingency costs, and the number of improvements in the district. Do I have any questions? Does anybody have any questions regarding? Okay, at this time I will present the motion. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, Sussex County Council approves an estimated annual billing rate of $66.20 per residential or commercial improvement within the Pinetown proposed street lighting district if an election passes and the district is formed. The annual billing rate will be adjusted each year thereafter based upon the actual number of assessable units and all street lighting costs.
Pleasure, Council.
Thank you, sir. I'd love to introduce that one.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions
on
the motion?
Yes, I do. Real quick, I do have a few questions, if I may. And,
sure.
And that would be, number one is, this is not related. I just want to make sure I've got this right. I know that developer down in Pinetown, it was agreed that they were going to pay for street lighting for an adjacent community, if I recall.
I believe that was at Jimtown.
Jimtown, okay, just want to make sure. All right, so it's not the same one. A couple of other questions is, who pays for damage or when these bulbs burn out? I mean, I don't see that in the budget in here when things go bad.
Maintenance costs are included in the annual assessment.
The bulbs, all that stuff.
I'm sorry, what?
The light company is the one who pays for change of bulbs.
Delaware Electric Cooperative would in this case. Now, how many times? I don't know.
But that's reflected in these numbers?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to double check that. And then it says that this is a preliminary cost. If it goes beyond to a certain point, does it go back out to the community and for their approval? Or because I know the numbers that are reflected here were, I presume, presented to the community.
Yes.
So if there is
and
is
actually
there a
they were higher.
Is there a threshold that if things go too high, then we put everything on halt and go back for their reapproval?
There's a provision in the code that allows them to come back before us, and we could decrease the number of streetlights, we could remove the streetlights. So there is a provision there. They're not stuck with some astronomical cost in the
right.
future if it does get
That's what I
crazy.
Was after, to make sure there's some kind of a provision in there. Okay. Right. Thank you, sir.
More questions?
Just that it would make a Deaver. Great difference to the community.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Coley?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I would guess motion carried. Next part.
Okay, the second item is a resolution to establish details for an election to be held for the improvement owners of the Pinetown proposed street lighting district as per Chapter 95 code. The resolution was approved by David Rutt, Assistant County Attorney, on March 22nd. It provides for an election to be held on Friday, April 29th from 12 noon until 6 p.m. at the Pinetown Civic Association building located on Pinetown Road, Lewis, Delaware. Designates me to be the judge of the election. It establishes a provision for the appropriate notice of the election along with the estimated cost to the Pinetown improvement owners, as well as a provision for absentee ballots as per Sussex County Code Chapter 95. The election outcome will make the final determination if the street lighting district will actually be formed. If there's no questions at this time, I can present the resolution.
You can just read the short title, the very top heading. Mm-hmm.
A resolution establishing the date, time, place of an election to be held to consider the question of establishing the proposed Pinetown street lighting district.
Pleasure, Council.
Introduce that.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll get motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All the business, Mr. Lank. At least we use 2036.
Good morning again. Or good afternoon.
Good afternoon now. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Sorry. We have two items of old business. Both of these items were heard by council on March 15th of 2016. The first one is conditional use number 2036, the application of Jimmy Kellogg. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for parking of employee vehicles and vans for a cleaning service business. to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 22,323 square feet, more or less. Property is located northeast of Field Lane, a subdivision street, 200 feet southeast of Muncie Branch Road, being Road 270A. The 911 address was 36181 Field Lane, Rehoboth Beach. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 873, excuse me. In your packet, which you received on Friday, is a copy of the same report that was provided to you on March 15th of 2016. It shows a report of the commission's public hearing and also a report on the commission's decision on the January 14th of 2016. If you choose, I can read it into the record again, or I can acknowledge that it is in the record and has been previously read.
And Mr. Wilson, what would you like him to do? You are in charge.
Skip it. It's already been previously read.
It was previously read on the 15th of March, and it is a part of the record.
We'll take it part of the record.
In general, the recommendation of the commission was that this application be denied or forward to council with a recommendation to be denied for those reasons stated, and there were six reasons read into the record.
Mm-hmm. Well covered.
And my recollection is that this was deferred, I believe, on Mr. Arlett's request that
Correct.
There be some proposed findings in favor of the application be prepared, which I did prepare, which Mr. Lank had a chance to review,
yes, I did.
And which I sent to all council members last Friday.
So what's the next thing do we do, Mr. Moore? Do
I could read it into the record.
Mr. Wilson, will you tell Mr. Moore to read it?
Would you mind reading the record, Mr. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
This is an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for parking of employee vehicles and vans for a cleaning service business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 22,323 square feet, more or less, for the following reasons. A is the just a recap of what I just read. B, council found that DelDoc commented that a traffic impact study was not required and that the current level of service B of Muncie Branch Road will not change as a result of this application. C, council found that the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division commented that the site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area, that wastewater capacity is available if the proposed use does not exceed approximately one EDU of sewer assessment, that the parcel was provided with a 6-inch sanitary sewer lateral located along the parcel's frontage on Field Lane, and the existing home is connected to the sewer system, that conformity to the West Rehoboth expansion area planning study will be required and that a concept plan is not required. D, council found that the Sussex Conservation District commented that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion sediment control practices during construction, maintain vegetation, no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, that no off-site drainage improvements will be required, and that it's not likely that any on-site drainage improvements will be required. E, based on testimony before P&Z Commission and a public hearing before Sussex County Council, council found that the applicant, Jimmy Kellogg and Jennifer Kellogg, were present, stated that they own a cleaning business. They cannot afford to lease a storefront for their small business, that they have 12 full-time employees, but that the work occurs off-site, that they have extended their driveway, that they have 3 work vans and 2 family vehicles, that they live on premises, that across the road from their property within 200 feet is a storefront with 3 business uses, that their normal work days are Monday through Friday with an occasional Saturday and Sunday during the summer months, that currently there are no regular deliveries, but they do receive deliveries from FedEx and UPS, and the applicant is not aware of any deed restrictions against commercial activities. F, council found that the proposed use is limited in scope, will have little or no impact on traffic, area roadways, neighboring properties, or the communities. G, council found that the proposed use promotes a health, safety, welfare, and general convenience of Sussex County and its Residence H, council found that the proposed use is akin to a home occupation because the applicant resides on the property and will continue to reside there throughout the use. I, council also found that other than the applicant and his wife, there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application at the council hearing. J, based on the record created before Sussex County Council, the conditional use is approved subject to the following conditions, which will serve to minimize any potential impacts on surrounding area and adjoining properties. A, parking shall be limited solely within the boundaries of the applicant's driveway and parking pad in compliance with Sussex County Zoning Code, parking requirements, and any property restrictions for the site. B, at all times, the property shall maintain the appearance of a single-family residence and not of a business-slash-commercial venture in a residential neighborhood. C, no lighted sign shall be permitted on the property. D, no dumpster shall be permitted on the property. E, any security lighting shall be limited to security lighting that is customary in residential areas and shall be downward screened so it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements regarding entrances to the property. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Pleasure, Council.
Yeah, make a motion we approve CZ, what is it?
2036.
2036.
With the condition.
Actually, I would like to make, before we get into that, I actually want to make one suggestion on these items here. Is it too late to say that?
Yeah, please.
Because nobody's been seconded yet. Because this isn't in a residential community. And I think we all are sensitive towards that. And there's no deed restrictions at the same time. But C says no lighted signs shall be permitted on the property. It doesn't mean that they could not put a sign. Just no lighted sign. So for me, out of respect for the community and the neighbors, I would think no signs shall be permitted on the property. Now, because I know that they have their vans, work vans, would, if they have a sign on their van, would that exclude that requirement because it's on a car?
No, I don't.
Or should we change the language to reflect
that? Just no sign.
Not an issue.
Okay, so I would move that we adopt the elimination of item C, JC, from these recommended recommendations.
So motion, Mr. Arlette, to amend the conditions by striking condition C as read the public record.
I'll second.
Or no.
Well, actually,
no. I remove the word lighted.
Correct.
So no sign.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You said remove.
No,
I will amend my motion to strict the word lighted from JC.
Okay.
From,
I was trying to do what you want.
I know. I appreciate that. From okay. JC.
So the motion, Mr. Arlette, is to amend condition C by striking the word lighted. So it will read no signs if you're on the property.
Mm-hmm. They're
not lit. No signs. We're going to strike the lighted part out of it.
Okay.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. We have a motion, Mr. Arlette. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Question on the motion. We're going to take the vote now on amending condition C. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Aye, we have motion carried. So I have a motion from council if wants to make it to approve conditional use 2036 with the conditions as amended. So I have a motion.
Move forward.
Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I will go along with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and it's a very difficult decision to make because I sympathize with small business, and I know that that's one of our goals is to help folks get started in the small businesses, but this is not on a main road. This is in a neighborhood. This is not a setting that's appropriate for the business activities that go on. So I have to vote against it.
Motion. Mr. Cole.
I'm going to vote no also because I think exactly what Mrs. Deaver stated. It appears that the business started small, and I'm basically looking at planning and zoning's recommendation for denial, which I think I concur with, that the record indicates the business has grown, successfully grown, and it's outgrown its particular location, keeping in mind that that's been in violation the whole time it's been growing successfully. And the parties who appeared in there were parties that appeared in opposition at the planning and zoning
All of them agreed at the business that had grown. And it's not compatible with the neighborhood. This location is located on a lot in a residential neighborhood, surrounded by residential properties within the community, not out on the public road. So the commercial use is not appropriate. There's evidence that the parking and stuff adversely affects property in the community and the roadways. There's other appropriate locations, I'm sure, for this, but that's not our business to try to find other locations. But for those reasons, I'll vote no.
Charlotte.
And though I appreciate and respect my counterparts that just voted no, actually I will be voting in favor of this because strictly it's because I know that they're, as just outlined by the items just put into the record, I think it's also very, very important to understand that the HOA and the community itself does not restrict from this happening. I think that's very relevant to the conversation because if it was that of a concern for that community, then they would have deeded restrictions to prevent this from happening. And that is not the case per the public record that's been presented thus far. So for that reason alone and the limitations that have been placed on this applicant based on what was just suggested, I am in favor of voting yes in favor of this.
Mr. Wilson.
I'm going to vote yes. Just on the same idea that Mr. Barnett has said here.
I do see both. There's two sides to this. I do agree with that totally. I mean, certainly they have a business. They want to continue having that business. At the same time, they're a residential neighborhood. And planning and zoning, heard the same thing we heard basically, and they voted 4-0 to deny it. For the reasons stated by planning and zoning, I'm going to vote no. Motion defeated.
There are an awful lot of employees.
I see that.
Hopefully not a job.
I said, hopefully not.
The second item on the agenda under old business is conditional use number 2037, the application of Gilbert J. Bernowski, Jr., an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR, general residential district, for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.101 acres, more or less. Property located northeast of Mount Joy Road, Road 297, 0.4 miles east of Gravel Hill Road, Route 30. 911 address is 26371 Mount Joy Road, Millsboro, with a tax map ID of District 234, Map 21, Parcel Number 50. Again, this application was also reviewed by the Council on Public Hearing on March 15th of 2016. In your possession and in the packet, you did receive a copy of the Commission's recommendation on this application, which was a recommendation that the application be denied with 6 reasons. In the council's deliberation after holding public hearing on March 15th, I was asked to have an inspector go on site, take photographs, and give a report on what they found on the site. Rather than have that inspector come in, I have a copy of a report provided to me through Kelly Passwaters, Zoning Inspector 3, and she did go on the site with Zoning Inspector Steve Hickman on March 16th of 2016. And it did visit the site at this location. They took several pictures, spoke to the gentleman that is operating the auto repair shop on site, and provided the following observations. They found 7 untagged vehicles, which include 2 that are for sale, 3 vehicles that are untagged, and those 3 vehicles belong to the property owner and not to the business. There was 1 RV that does not appear to be occupied as a residence. There are no junk tires laying around the site. There are no oil or other fluids visible on the outside of the site, so there's been no spillage, it appears. There's no trash visible on site, and basically that's what they found. I can pass down the pictures if you'd like to see them.
Now, Mr. Lank, would you know if there was, because we announced that we were going to make the inspection, that there was a response to that on their part?
No, I don't think there was. I think it's pretty much the same. And you can see it in the photographs.
Okay.
There's a couple of golf carts parked on the property, a lawnmower here and there, just
typical yard
but
around
the distinction,
a shop.
When we have a piece of property, and on that piece of property there's X number of unlicensed vehicles, it shouldn't matter who they belong to. If they're on, I think our zoning, Everett, tell me if I'm wrong on this, if you've got a piece of ground and you've got X number of vehicles on there and they're in violation because of, they're on that piece of ground. Doesn't matter if this guy owns them or the other guy owns them.
How big a piece of ground are you talking about?
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying we haven't.
I think it does matter.
Okay, well, let me finish, Mr. Wilson. We have an ordinance, correct, about unlicensed vehicles? How many are allowed
to
have on a property?
I can't answer that. There's two. You're allowed to have two unlicensed vehicles on a property.
And on this property, or what you just said? You said there's seven.
There were seven.
Unless
some of those vehicles, you can see them in the photographs, are owned by the applicant. A couple of them are owned by customer vehicles that are related to the auto repair shop.
Okay, but that shouldn't matter.
No.
Right.
It
doesn't matter.
Total of seven.
Right. Would you say it's more of a salvage yard at this point?
Pardon?
Active business there with all the unlicensed cars.
Yeah, well, a couple of them may be there for the business. Uh-huh. She didn't get the detail from the... Uh-huh. From the operator that they were there to be repaired, or that they were, but the three of them were owned by the owner of the property, the applicant.
Uh-huh. But there are other unlicensed.
Yeah, there's a total seven unlicensed vehicles. So the council had deferred action at that meeting on the 15th so that we could go on site and get more information. One of the concerns expressed by the opposition was that it appeared that the camper was being, or the RV was being occupied, and it didn't appear so in the at the inspection.
I mean, what could they determine just by seeing if anybody was in there? I mean, they didn't open the door or check in and see if it was.
I don't know what they did, but they made that determination, and I asked them to go together. There's
two
inspectors went together rather than just
good.
One.
Sure.
Yeah,
that is good.
Any more questions of council?
Just one, Mr. President. No photos of the proposed works area, meaning from within. I think the proposed work area, if I recall, was that garage.
Inside the garage.
That's
inside
correct.
The garage. But no photos from within that garage?
The lot is improved with a dwelling that's occupied by the applicant owner's stepfather. And then the applicant lives off premise, and the garage is being used for the purpose of auto repair. Mm-hmm. And what I asked them to look for on site specifically, more important than me, was the oils and fluids.
Right.
And they saw no what appeared to be oils and fluids on the ground.
Questions of council?
Hmm.
If not, we'll ask Mr. Moore to read a short title. Mm-hmm.
An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.101 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, council.
Take a motion, we approve.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Or CU 2037.
Conditional use 2037. Do we have a second?
Here it is.
Wilson seconded it?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Wilson. Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant conditional use 2037. Mm-hmm. What the following reason? For the reason stated by PNZ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, PNZ denied.
Correct. PNZ denied this application.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Right. I stand correct.
Well, the reason.
But for the reason.
They are reasons. Yeah. They're not conditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was the reason?
They're listed there.
They're listed like six of them.
Let me pull them up.
We'll take the okay.
Here.
No more questions. We'll give Mr. Wilson a second to read that, and we'll take the vote. Thank you. We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I'm with planning and zoning on this, and it was a good strong vote, and I can see where this is nowhere near a home business, and the applicant not even living there, and it looks to me like approval would invite tremendous expansion, and I vote no.
Mr. Cole?
I'm going to concur with planning and zoning. I feel that, you know, when we go into these residential neighborhoods, you know, many people take a lot of pride in their residential properties, and then when you have a commercially operated site amongst a residential neighborhood, it sometimes doesn't go the same way or have the same motivation. So the reasons that the Planning and Zoning Commission had used for denial, I concur with. I think it's out of character, and it's not appropriate in that residential area.
That's a no vote.
That's a no vote, yes, sir.
Mr. Arlett?
I know that something similar has come before the council. I guess it was this last year, if I recall, not too far around the corner. Well, actually, that's probably not true. Probably maybe 5 or 6 miles away, but something similar in some sense. And I voted no on that one for obvious reasons as it related to not being able to adhere to those requirements. So I will be consistent, and for that reason, I will go along with planning and zoning on this and vote no.
Well,
since I'll vote the rest of them, I'll vote yes.
Okay. I also will concur with planning and zoning's findings, and the gentleman that spoke before us that lives next door was had a lot of information that day. I thought about what he continued to see over there all the time, which was not what you necessarily want next to you normally if you live there. So I'm going to vote no, motion defeated.
Thank you.
Evidently, it wasn't all the truth that was said. City Hall and everything on the ground, everything else. Pardon me, Mr. Knight's testimony, I didn't hear that.
Grant requests.
Good afternoon, Mr. Okay. President, members of council. The first one is the Indian River School District's requesting $2,000 for the student mentoring program at the John M. Clayton Elementary School. For the 2015-2016 school year, there were approximately 60 adult mentors meeting with over 90 students in grades K through 5. Mentors meet weekly with each of their assigned students for approximately 40 minutes. The objectives of their mentoring program are to help mentored students improve school performance by decreasing school absences, improving classroom behavior, and demonstrating improvement in overall grades, especially English language arts subjects. Last grant received was $2,000, which was $500 from Mr. Cole and $1,500 from Mr. Arlett.
And I would propose that we do the same.
Second. Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $2,000 to the school district for a student mentoring program at John M. Clayton Elementary School, being $500 for Mr. Cole and $1,500 for Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
And I will vote yes. At the same time, I just want to make this comment because I wish, truly, this is a mentoring program from adults to kids, and I wish really this is a function of the school district, truly, truth be told. I mean, this is all about teaching these kids how to read and be better students. Why the school district doesn't step up and provide this as a service is another question that I would like to ask publicly speaking. But in the end, if the funding is not there and these kids go without, is not a good thing for our community. So I am in favor of this, but I would like to see the school district step up and do what they should be doing.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The Lewis Seniors Center they're requesting $5,000 for expansion of their current building. The center has outgrown their current facility. The expansion would be from 7,715 to 8,500 square feet. They have a very active membership and currently offer aerobics, dancing, yoga, exercise, tai chi, and shape-up classes for physical fitness or general improvement mobility, as well as diabetes and pre-diabetes classes. They are in the process of having an architect draw up plans for expansion. Last grant received was $2,000 from Ms. Deaver.
Well, I'd like to do that again, repeat that $2,000 grant in out of my account.
I think it'd be $5,000 from, don't you, Joe? When you have to give the full amount.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, to give $2,000. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second it.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Motion, Ms. Devers, second, Mr. Arlette, to grant the Lewis Senior Center, Senior Citizens Center, $2,000 from Ms. Devers' account for building addition costs. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Also yes, motion carried.
And the next one is the Laurel School District, the Paul Lawrence Dunbar Elementary School. They're requesting a grant of $2,000 for the Dunbar-5K Wellness Walk to be held at the elementary school. The 5K Wellness Walk is a community event, and 100% of the proceeds will be used to help enhance the school's health and wellness program. Last grant received was $200, which was $100 each from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Arlette.
I'll give $250.
I'll give that from Mr. Mike, from Mr. Vincent.
Okay.
And I will match Mr. Vincent as well.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Second, Mrs. Dever, to grant $500 to the Paul Lawrence Dunbar Elementary School for Dunbar Dash, the wellness program at the school, being $250 from my account and $250 from Mr. Wright's account. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
And I will vote yes, and hopefully this year I can make it on the correct day versus the wrong day, like I did last year. I showed up at the...
Yes.
I'll vote yes, motion carried. Opposed zoning board's introduction. Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. President. The first one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for equipment storage and repair for a contracting business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek, Fundry, Sussex County, containing 4.972 acres, more or less, and it's in Mr. Wilson's district.
Well, introduce it.
And the next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a warehouse and office to receive and store HVAC equipment to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.457 acres, more or less, in Mr. Cole's district.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
That's all, Mr. President.
Council member comments. Council member comments.
Just that,
Council, Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, I just, you know, I talked to people and they can't find this information and that information, and I'm telling you, when I first got involved in politics here, you couldn't find anything. It was all so difficult to figure out how. That we couldn't even get an agenda. We have improved so much. I'll just congratulate every one of you. And I mean, we really have made tremendous improvements. So I want to thank you.
More comments from
yes,
council?
Yes, sir. I could have done this morning, but the Delaware Seaside Railroad Club has sent us a certificate of appreciation for their support. And there's also a little flyer here that free admission. The open summer hours, Wednesdays 5 to 8, and Saturdays 10 to 3. So the Seaside Railroad Club is open to the public in operation in Dagsboro.
Does that mean we get a train ride?
George is a conductor.
I'm the conductor.
Any more comments from council? Okay, we'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for job applicants, qualifications, personnel, and land acquisition.
Yes, do that.
Vote Ms. Dever, second Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We're now in executive session downstairs.